I'm so thankful to be here this morning. I'm so thankful for each and every one of y'all. I'm thankful for that man right there, Adam. Love him to death. He's 13 years ago, he basically introduced me to his mother in a roundabout way. And it's just ever since then, it's come to this, to you people. So y'all are a big part of it too. It took 13 years to get here, but hey. Before we get started, I just want to go ahead and go in prayer, if it's okay. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day and this opportunity, God, that, Lord, we can take your word and break forth and learn from your word. Learn from each and every one that's here today, Lord. Just pray, God, this word will touch somebody's life. Somebody's soul, Lord, is at stake, Lord. We just pray, God, that you just have your way. Lord, put me behind the cross. I'm nothing without you, and I realize that. God, it's a humble and it's a privilege, Lord, to stand behind this podium. Just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we've been studying a series of the book of Mark. Mark is a fast pace for Jesus, for all the miracles that he completed and all the things that he did. If you read it, it's a miracle right after miracle. It just don't stop. And the thing about it, it's not stopping today. There's miracles that's going on today, and he hasn't stopped. But I want you to turn to the book of Mark 7. Let me find my glasses. I'm a little nervous because it's been a while since I've been in front of the people. But just bear with me because we're going to go somewhere with this. Mark chapter 6. I'm sorry, 6. And we will be covering 7 too. Let's go to 7. I want to get something out of the way in 7 because I want to come back to 6. I know you're supposed to go forward, but I'm kind of going backwards here a little bit. So it talks about in Mark chapter 7, verse 24. There was a woman. She was a Gentile. And Jesus was kind of, him and his disciples been traveling. It was up around the northern part of the Sea of Galilee, which is about 90 miles from the Jerusalem, where the headquarters of the Jewish people. And what brings me to this is that Jesus went out his boundary. Sometimes we have to go out our boundaries to reach somebody, and that's what he did. He went to a precious woman about 35 miles away from the Sea of Galilee, and he had the disciples going along. And what I want to tell you about this woman, that she had a demon-possessed daughter. You know, during all this time that all this is going on, there's a lot of demons being cast out. But this particular woman came up to him and said, "Hey, I need you to come. I need you to come and get this evil spirit that's in my daughter." So Jesus comes up to him and says, "For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet." And the woman was a Greek, how do you pronounce that, Derek? A Syrophoenician? Did I say it right? There you go. I knew I could count on him. He knows all the words in the Bible. And by birth, she kept asking him to cast out the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first." In other words, let the children eat first. "For it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it into the little dogs." And then she said, in verse 28, she said, answered him, said, "Lord, let every little dog under the table eat from the children's crumbs." And then she said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." So what is he saying by that? He saw the faith of her. See, the Jewish people did not like those type of people. They were scum to them. They even called them dogs. They called them dogs, and that's where they get the, you know, Jesus wasn't calling her dogs, but what I'm trying to say is that the region where he was at, he was not supposed to be in that area. When he went to that area, to that girl, to that woman, and he cast out the the devil out of the little dog, out of the, excuse me, Lord, forgive me. Let me get my words straight. The enemy does not, I know the enemy does not like, there's a reason why I'm up here, church. I can't do it in myself, I realize that. I have to depend on him. If we don't depend on him, church, we can't go forward. So, but what I was trying to say is that the Jewish people always kept following Jesus. Wherever he was at, they was looking for some way to trip him for all that he did, because there was a lot that was going on in the work that he was doing with his disciples. The enemy does not like what's going on. He didn't like what's going on. But anyway, let's go to chapter 6. Let me get what I'm trying to say. I really showed more emphasis on chapter 6 than I did about the woman. And then also about the deaf and dumb. It talks later in that verse. But he healed them. Let's go to chapter 6 in Mark. Chapter 6, verse 12-13. I'm going a little bit ahead of, I'm supposed to start at 30, but I want you to understand what I'm going through here. So they went out and they preached, and people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed them with oil. And with the sick, and they were healed. So this was taking place all over the area. Jesus was going out. He sent the disciples out. He sent them out to do the same thing that he was doing. They was preaching. They was healing the sick. They was casting out devils. He was doing all these things. And before you know it, they had a crowd. The crowd started getting bigger because they saw what was going on. Jesus and all his disciples, the crowd just got big and they started following them all over the place. That's why they had to get in a boat. They had to travel. But when they got to the other side of the sea, it seemed like the people had met them there because the news was getting out what was going on, what was taking place. And, you know, church, it don't stop. It didn't stop back then. It happens today. God is still alive. He is still healing. He's still touching lives. He is still saving lives. And it just, people have stopped, but he hasn't stopped. Let's go on a little further. He says, in verse 30, he said, they were all tired and they needed rest. And the Lord took them by the boat to a secluded area on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus recognized them. He saw that they needed rest because there was so much going on in that general area. Sometimes we have to take a break. We have to take a rest because we get caught up doing so much and don't realize it. If you don't watch out, this whole body right here gets tired. It needs rest. Sometimes we have to take a break. Sometimes after 40 hours of work, we have to take a break. Because I sure don't like going back on the sixth day or the fifth day, you know, last day of work. But anyway, these bodies need rest. And Jesus said in verse 33 and 34, the crowd followed the Lord and his disciples by taking the land route along the shore of the lake. And then Jesus realized he saw all these people that was following him. He had compassion on them. Church, Jesus has compassion on us. We don't have time for hate. We don't have time to hate one another. It's time to start loving one another. And he said, Jesus had compassion on the people. Aren't you glad he had compassion on us? He said they were wandering around without a spiritual guide, hungry and defenseless. And he began to teach them. Jesus saw the realizations, not just that they were just hungry, but they was hungry for a spiritual. I'm hungry for a spiritual blessing too. I don't want to just eat just physical food. I need spiritual food. Jesus had the compassion on the people. He saw that these people are not just hungry, just physical, but they are hungry spiritual. And he saw their desire. And that's why we should be church. We should be hungry for the spiritual things, not just the physical things. And he said, the disciples in 35 and 36, the disciples began restless, and the crowd and so many people, nothing to eat. So they was getting the disciples to say, hey, man, what are we going to do with all these people? We got about 5,000 people hanging around us all day long. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says, you know what? I want you to feed them. Man, that was a step back for 12 disciples. How are we going to feed all these people? And not just 5,000 men. They miscalculated somewhere in the Bible. There should have been probably 5,000 women, maybe even 5,000 children. So it comes out maybe about 20,000 people. That's a lot of people. And Jesus says, what do you have? Go find out what can you get. So he comes up with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And I got to do some more research on that. It says, where did these 2 fishes and 5 bread come? It was from a little lad in John chapter 6. I believe in John chapter 6 it talks about a little boy that had 2 fishes and had 5 loaves. So not needing to know that God took somebody, a kid, just a kid. He took somebody, you know, just a little kid. Mama packed the lunch for him and said, hey, I want you to take this, and I want you to, this is something for you to eat. And the little kid didn't realize that his fish, his food was going to be used to feed 20,000 people. Church, what a miracle. Man, God just used it don't matter who you are, he used anybody. If he can use a 10-year-old kid, he can use you. He can use me. It don't take somebody with it don't take somebody with 5 degrees to get the message across. But I want to tell you something, man. When God got a hold of that situation, that blessed me when I realized that he just took that kid and used him. Didn't realize his lunch was going to feed a bunch of people. But when he got a hold of that, the disciples, he says, I want you to feed them. They got to think about, man, we ain't got no money. So when they come up with the 2 fishes and the 5 loaves of bread, God used that situation. And the thing about it, when Jesus blessed the food, he blessed it, and he took around and blessed it. The miracle didn't happen yet. But buddy, when he took that bread and he broke it and he started distributing it, something started taking place. It went from Jesus' hand to the disciples' hands, and to the people that was hungry, that needed the food. He took it and he broke it. When he broke it, it kept on breaking, it started multiplying. It kept on multiplying over and over. Sometimes God has to get us and break us to a place where he can use us. When he breaks it, and sometimes it hurts when it breaks. I've seen times in my life I've been broken, but he took that brokenness and he was able to multiply it, and it got better and better. And that's what God does in our lives. He take that and say, Lord, you may say, Lord, I'm in this little place right here. I don't know if I can take it, but if you hold on a little bit longer, he'll increase that little place to a bigger place in your life. It don't matter what it is. Maybe your business, maybe the house you live in, or wherever you're at. If you hold on, just let him keep breaking and breaking, and he'll put you in that place. And he blessed it. I've seen in his life, I seen him work out of a little room in our house. That was his business to where he's at today. Because he held on, but he had to go through a breaking process to where he's at today. And that's the same way in our life. Sometimes we have to go through a breaking process. The thing about it, after that situation, he told the disciples, says, hey, I want y'all to get in a boat. He made them get in a boat, and I want you to go on a cross. during that situation by him making, he commanded them to get in that boat. He said, I want you to take everything that you got. They picked up 12 baskets of fragments of what was left over during that. Just think about it. There's 12 disciples. Each one had their own little basket of food. They got blessed. So they're going across, and Jesus knew that they was heading for a storm. And when they went through that storm, Jesus went up to the mountains and he was praying, but he saw from a far off distance where he went, wherever he was, he saw where the disciples go. He knows where we're going to be at. He knows where we're going. He knows the storms that you're going to go through. But I'm going to tell you something. If you hold on to him, you'll go through that storm with protection. He'll protect you no matter what situation you're in. He'll pull you through storms. What's so cool about this, him going through the storm, is that, you know what? I'm just going to give them something to think about. Something that they didn't see on the shore. I'm going to give them something to think about in the middle of their storms. So Jesus takes a little walk, a little trip across the Sea of Galilee. And he sees the disciples that's in the ship, in the boat. And he looks at them. He gets up there close to them. I'm sure he kind of walked in front of them. And they was probably shocked. What's he doing standing up here in the middle of the sea? They got frightened. They got scared. And didn't realize what kind of miracle they'd just come out of. Didn't realize the fish they got in front of them. They probably still got breadcrumbs or chips and fish that's on their clothes from the miracle that they just saw. But they didn't realize what he was trying to do. So they saw him. They was all afraid. And he steps in the boat with them. And you know, it's like the Bible said they was baffled, they was shaken. Sometimes God has to buff us up a little bit to get us to realize what we just come out of. The greatest miracle they just ever saw and come out of. And they didn't, you know, it's like, can't you just trust me? Didn't you just see me just walk here? I'm stepping in the ship with you. I'm with you. I'm comforting. I'm here to comfort you. And all of a sudden, peace came over that ocean, over the storms. And that's what God can do with you. I don't care what you're going through and your situation you may go through. He can speak peace in those storms in your life. And he can calm them down. He knows what to do. He knows he's God. Church is God. But I'm here to tell you, what you're going through, he can bring you through. I see great things. I'm not a great speaker. I know that. I'm not. But God, here's a vessel. Use me. Whatever you can do, use me. Take me. Use me. I'm nothing. But I know what you can do. I've seen them happen time and time again. And he's not through with us. We got a long way to go. No matter what's going on in this world, no matter what's going on Fox News whatsoever, it ain't nothing from what we have here. It ain't nothing. I wish they could just open up their eyes and see what kind of love that's in this congregation. That's what I get experienced when I come here Sunday. It's not so much me getting behind that bass playing a tune or getting behind that piano or getting up here singing. It's what I feel when I walk in here and I see some of the faces in here. I love my Sunday school class. I can't help but love Derek. He's a great teacher. And it just feels good to be in that presence with you in our Sunday school classes or wherever, every little function that we do to get together. I get to be a part of it. And it makes me feel good. I used to not say that. I've been in church all my life. And there's not very many churches you can go in there and feel that presence. That, hey, I can't wait to go to church. I get to be with my people. I get to be with my family. And that's Jesus. That's compassion. And that's the love that I feel. We got it. We got it. We got more than gold that's on the golden streets in heaven. We got it. Let's just keep it that way. I want to keep it that way. I want to grow with you. I want you to help me to grow. I want to help you grow. I want to pray. I want to believe that God has got some great things in store for this church. It ain't have nothing to do with your billfold in your pocket. My billfold's in the car. Anyway, but I'm just saying that the world, I wish the world could just open up and just peek in here and see what we have here. And it's real. It's not phony. It's nothing. It's not a show. It's the real thing. It's the real deal. And I just, you know, I know I kind of flubbed up a little bit, but it'll get better. Just with us, keep it together. Keep it real. You don't have to be phony. Okay, I kind of run out of town a little bit. But anyway, I just want to let you know, I appreciate the opportunity I got to stand before you. Maybe next time I'll be, believe me, I went over this message 150 times probably in my mind. It never's going to come out the way you think it's going to come out. But when you let God take control, let Him have the reins, it'll go. It'll preach. I love each and every one of you. If you don't mind, for the musicians will come up. I guess you had a song prepared, Brother Gary. I know I probably didn't cover everything I was supposed to cover, but I am so thankful for each and every one of y'all. Y'all made everything in my life. I feel like it's complete when I walk through these doors. And you know, used to, I thought you had to have the finest equipment, you had to have the finest instruments, you had to have this, you had that. You don't have to have all that. What you got to have is just love for one another and keeping Him first in your life. And I promise you, He'll get you through those storms. He got the disciples through those storms. You may be, I don't know what you're going through. I can list everything. It could be depression. It could be loneliness. It could be anything. I'm not going to go through all that list, but He's here in this place, and He wants to meet a need. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, the altar is open. He's here. There's people that will pray. I'll pray. I'll pray until 5 o'clock, until we have the cake run off. It don't matter. Your life and your soul is more important. And I just pray as they sing a song that if you got a need, this altar's open. This is His workbench. He can do more than I can ever speak in another 20 or 30 years of my life. He can do it all right here.